The Sec men were taciturn, all apparently in their late 20s and early 30s. They were dressed in spotlessly clean casual clothes, well-armed with matching chromed Ruger Red Hawks, the 44 Magnum with a 7.5-inch barrel. The impression was of extreme alertness and a calm, self-contained efficiency. They were all very polite, but never came anywhere close to being friendly. And that was something Ryan could admire. The six companions were left alone in a large room, well-appointed in a classic pre-dark country house style. Lots of padded furniture with flowered print draperies and covers, polished bronze bowls of scented flowers on polished tables, an upright piano in the corner of the suite allocated to Ryan and Christy, four-poster bed with heavy tapestry curtains around it, a bright fire blazing in the hearth, and small silver and brass ornaments on the mantel. The walls were hung with a number of dark oil paintings, some showing stately galleons, others portraying old-fashioned men in ruffs, solemnly skating on frozen ponds.
Tasteful. Kind of thing you'd see in a National Geographic article on stately living in the country shires in England.
Best dressed villa I ever saw.
JB sat on a large sofa, sinking into the upholstery.
How about Straub?
Ryan looked out of the barred windows, across a neat herb garden, divided with a patterned box hedge.
The man's mind's fucked. He lost it. Only one round left in the chamber.
I can only agree with our young friend. The Countess Katya Beausoleil has broken him in mind and spirit. He is totally enthralled to her.
I just wonder whether a snake can change its rattle. He was such a brilliant, swift, and evil bastard. You think he's playing us?
Gaia, lover, you saw the way she's mutilated and castrated him. He's a broken man. I almost feel sorry for the poor devil.
The Countess will be obliged to have your company.
The food went with the house. Excellent quality, yet bland and strangely oppressive. They were served brown soup with beef to start, followed by broiled trout with a side salad that had been washed in a bland mayonnaise. Roast pork followed, with perfect carrots, baked potatoes, and a tasteless gravy. Dessert was a steamed vanilla pudding with raisins and sliced apple with a custard sauce. There was the faint hint of cinnamon with the apples, but that was almost the strongest flavor of the whole rich meal. The Countess served wines that had been imported from far-off France in the past 10 years. The white was too sharp on the palate, and the red was as bland as the salad dressing. They dined, with the Countess seated at the head of the long oak refectory table, Straub perched like a pet ape at the far end, keeping up a flow of fulsome praise for every course of the meal.
Delicious pudding, Katya. The best I've ever had.
Enough, Straub.
Straub sat with his head bowed, one hand playing with the retrieved silver disc around his throat.
I must tell you a little about myself and about this ville.
The Countess turned to stare at Ryan, fixing him with her deep green eyes, largely ignoring the rest of the company.
I inherited it from my father, Count Ricard Beausoleil. He had, in his turn, taken it over from his father, Count Emilion, and he from the first baron here, Count Fortador Beausoleil. He built it in the bloody days after the long winters and made it largely what it is now.
Mm. You aren't married?
I'll come to that, Ryan. My father had three sons and me. His weak ninny of a daughter. Oh, they're dead. And I live and rule.
Sickness, ma'am, or in battle?
Doc helped himself from a silver tureen to more of the pudding and custard sauce.
What? My brothers? Oh, an original Remington painting fell on the skull of Paul. Antoine drowned while cleaning out the carp pool. Georges was found dead in his bed, having choked while devouring a large bowl of lime gelatin.
Ill luck. And there has not been a count to join you here?
Oh, yes. I have had three husbands, my dear Dr. Tanner.
She turned her smile onto Ryan, seated at her right.
And even more bad luck. I had hoped that one of them would supply me with the male heir that I need so much, but all of them failed. And having failed to get me with child, the fates snatched them away from me.
The fates always operate at your command, my lady.
Just as with my brothers, all my husbands suffered extraordinary accidents. First was Nicholas, a sweet man. He was found dead in an old freezer chest in one of the outbuildings. He had been missing for several days. He was dressed in my underwear. Then came Robert, built like a bull, but absent in the region of fatherhood. He had the unfortunate habit of smoking in bed, little black cigars from the Caribbean. When someone finally heard his screams, the bed was totally ablaze and nothing could be done to save him.
Chains don't melt.
The bald, cockless fool means the chains of love.
And your third husband?
That was John, a tender lover. But when it came to the moment of most intense passion, I'm sorry to say there wasn't much there. John flattered to deceive me.
So he died?
He died. I didn't know it, or he could have been saved. But the poor man took to walking in his sleep, climbed to the attic turrets, and slipped over the edge. We found him next morning, his thigh bones driven up through his shoulders.
Oh, my God.
Beware of blasphemy, for he sees all and hears all.
I'm sorry, but I have never heard a story to compare with that, Countess.
That was a month ago. Since then, I have been distraught with grief. My clock is running out, and I must have a son. So we shall see what those fates provide.
Straub was rolling his silver disc back and forth so that it caught the light from the pendant-drop chandeliers. Ryan glanced at it and found that it suddenly held his attention, seeming to lock in his mind. With a firm shake of his head, he was able to free himself, but it set him wondering again about Straub. The man seemed a crazed shell of what he'd been, yet there was something that indicated there might still be a river of power running quietly far beneath the mad exterior.
Is there anything that any of you wish to visit while you stay here with us? Any attraction of old Memphis that we can escort you to and ensure your safety against local rowdies? Parts of the city are still there from pre-dark times.
I've always had an interest in going to Graceland.
Though the request had come from Mildred, the ruler of the ville ostentatiously leaned toward Ryan so that the front of her dress cupped open and revealed the shadowed valley between her breasts.
Others of our visitors have mentioned that place, the King's home. I've been there, and it is tawdry beyond belief. But if you like the songs of Elvis, then I suggest there is some fascination in visiting his home. We shall all go together. Straub, make the arrangements and fix enough sekmen.
Of course, Countess. It will be a pleasure to do your bidding.
Has everyone finished eating and drinking?
The Countess waited only a nanosecond before standing and sweeping away toward the door. She stopped and turned to face her guests.
I am busy today and this evening. A ville of this size always requires my attention. Sadly, I shall not meet with you until tomorrow, but I look forward to that. Straub will help you in anything you need.
The sekmen at the door saluted as she strode past them, vanishing into the hall. Straub stood and leaned on the table with both hands. The grin on his face emphasized the gap in his teeth.
She is the most wonderful and powerful person that I have ever met. There is nothing in all Deathlands that the Countess cannot have if she wants it. She cannot be denied. And yet she is the essence of charm. What are your impressions of her, Ryan Carter? I felt that she liked you.
Yeah, she liked him the way a cat likes the cream. Long as she doesn't expect Ryan to be the one who provides her with her son and heir.
You heard about all the bizarre accidents that have happened to her kinfolk. The Countess has also had a string of lovers, and they've all failed her. Not many of them still walk around above ground. Best you don't make jokes about sons and heirs, Christy.
Doesn't it occur to her that the problem must lie with her and not with her banks of sperm donors? She ever had a proper gyno checkup?
Straub looked around, his black eyes twitching nervously.
That's an even better topic to get yourself on the last boat downriver, Dr. Wyeth. I'm your friend, and I have the ear of the mistress, but even I could do nothing to help you if she was to catch a mere breath of such a stupid and blasphemous suggestion.
On the subject of your helping us, Straub.
Yes?
Is Traitor alive or dead?
Traitor? What you asked me before, and I can't remember. What's happened since then has wrapped an impenetrable shroud over my earlier memories. I can only recall clearly what's happened since I met the Countess. I can remember all of that so well.
Right. Well, reckon time's our own now. Until tomorrow's trip to Graceland.
Would you like a tour of the grounds?
We'd prefer to explore on our own.
Very well. Only the personal quarters of the Countess are off-limits.
Is there an armory? Spent a lot of ammo getting you away from those shit-eating little muties.
Yes. Please visit the Ville's store of weapons and ammunition and help yourselves.
There was a young guard on the door, with a crew cut, his hand resting casually on the butt of the Ruger Red Hawk.
Welcome. Straub passed on the word from the Countess that you could come and help yourself.
He looked at their array of armaments and grinned in a friendly fashion.
Guess you know what you want without me having to come in. It's all labeled clearly.
Dark night. Here's a lady who knows what she wants and has what she wants. This is as good an armory as I ever saw, even in a big frontierville.
Jack spotted a pedal-powered honing wheel and went straight to it, setting himself down to sharpen the edges on his beloved throwing knives. Ryan handed over his 18-inch steel panga.
Can you hone that for me while you're at it, Jack?
Sure. Doc, they even got some lead for your cannon. Fill up your pockets while you can. Don't see many of those 18-gauge grapeshot rounds. And there's plenty of rounds for the revolver chamber.
JB pushed back the brim of his fedora and looked around the stone-walled room with its rows of chained rifles and scatterguns and the neatly labeled boxes of ammo of every caliber known to man.
This stuff's worth a baron's ransom, a serious fortune.
Haven't got any flechettes for the Smith & Wesson M4000, have they?
JB's unusual pistol-grip shotgun held 8 rounds of Remington flechettes, each round packed with 20 of the tiny, razored, inch-long darts.
Yeah, up here in this cabinet. Got plenty of those Equaloy rounds and some caseless that would have done for your old Heckler & Koch, Ryan.
Ryan was scavenging for the 7.62mm rounds he needed for the Steyr SSG-70 hunting rifle. There were also 3 olive-green cases of 9mm ammunition that fit JB's Uzi, as well as the Sig Sauer.
There are 38s over here, Mildred.
Jack needed some 357s for his Colt Python, though he tended to use the gun as little as possible, relying on his other weapons and his own skills. Mildred was looking into a row of open boxes.
Those Grens, John?
Yeah. Any you want? Always come in handy when you least expect it.
Which are the ones that start fires?
Burners? Those. Next to the blue and scarlet implodes. What are you planning to burn, Millie?
Oh, you never know what's going to come along. Just begging for someone to set it on fire.
The guard had been wandering around, occasionally checking inside the room.
You got what you want?
Think so. You finished with that wheel, Jack? Then we're ready to go.
What you gonna do next for the rest of the day? Check out the villa.
You got any ideas? Any good walks around in the grounds?
Oh, yeah. Countess is real keen on making things beautiful. That's the most important to her, apart from you-know-what about having a son and all.
Which way should we go?
At the rear entrance, past the stable, and down over the terraces. Around the pin mill that stands at the end of the long fish pond. Follow a winding path across the flank of the steep valley, and that brings you to the viewing spot at the top of the gorge. Sight worth seeing.
Thanks.
Ryan looked into the armory again, thinking that the Countess couldn't have seriously malign intentions toward them if she was allowing them this much freedom.
Have a nice day.
They had followed the Sekhmen's instructions and headed out into the sweet-scented gardens, where many of the plants had small metal labels attached to their stems to identify them. Near the house was a terrace of roses in all colors, sizes, and shapes.
This lemony one's beautiful.
I like the apricot-colored one.
Mildred stooped to rub her fingers through a bush of flowering lavender.
Oh, lovely.
The still water of the large rectangular pond was covered with waxen lilies, pink and ivory, and they could see gigantic carp moving slowly through the mysterious deeps, with smaller goldfish darting between the stems of the plants.
There's the path.
Jack had taken the lead, showing no interest in the array of shrubs, trees, and flowers, eager to get onto the viewing spot so that he could see the river. They passed along the side of a hill, richly planted, that dropped away into a steep valley, with gigantic pines at its bottom, and a narrow stream winding through under an ornamental wooden bridge.
I believe that I can hear the river.
Jack was a long way in front, his flaring, snow-white hair leading them like a beacon along the twisting path. The ground leveled out, and the rich vegetation faded away until they were walking over bare rock.
I can hear it better now. I thought that old Miss was the only river running through Memphis.
Probably was.
Ryan paused and looked back, seeing the fortified mansion standing on a promontory, perfectly placed for defense against any attackers.
Tennessee was one of the states hardest hit by the earthshifts after the nuking. We've seen that already. Volcanoes and swamps. So a new river isn't much of a surprise.
There's the viewing point that the guard mentioned.
It was a reinforced platform of concrete tied in with steel girders to the bedrock at the top of the cliffs. Ryan noticed that much of the stone all around the ville seemed oddly raw, as if it had been buried for eons and had only been pushed out into daylight 100 or so years earlier. The sides of the gorge down to the foaming ribbon of the river, several hundred feet below, were also fresh-looking, with streaks of light stone among the darker gray. Jack stared through a wire fence that had been built around the edge of the platform, staring down into the deeps.
Can't dive straight into the river. Slopes way steep. Then drop sheer for the last 100 feet or so.
Upon my soul, but that is a fine spectacle. To view it gives an odd tightening of the scrotum.
Keep your tight scrotum to yourself, will you, Doc?
But you know that feeling of part thrill and part primitive atavistic terror of heights, madam. To go over that is to die without a doubt.
Jack leaned against the fence, oblivious to the fact that some of its base fastenings had come loose, and it was only hanging in place by a few rusting pins.
If you dive clean down here, be all right. Straight into the river. Long as no shallows or rocks.
Quite wrong, Jack.
How you mean?
I saw a mag article once about high divers. Seems there's an optimum height, no matter how skillful you are, where your momentum gathers and you accelerate until hitting water's like hitting a sheet of marble.
32 feet per second per second. One of the few facts I recall from high school physics. It's a rate of acceleration. It means in the first second, you fall 32 feet. 64 feet the next second, 96 in the third second, and so on, faster and faster, until you reach maximum speed, whatever that is.
I read that high divers also got punchy after a bit because of the repeated damage to their brain. So keep away from the edge, Jack.
The teenager looked at the others, as if he wondered if he were being teased. He decided he wasn't, and moved back a couple of paces from the brink.
You all right, Doc?
Doc was looking a little pale and had moved back out of the sun to sit on a shelf of shaded rock. He was holding his stomach and biting his lip.
I believe it is just a passing attack of dyspepsia, thank you, Doctor. But rather sharp, I must confess.
Maybe we should get back to the house so you can have a rest. Put your feet up. Ryan?
Yeah, sure.
But the sight of the misty river raging through the deep gorge was hypnotic. The sensation drawing Ryan toward it was strangely powerful and brought back to him the mesmeric powers of Straub. He tore himself away from the platform, and they made their way back to the ville. Ryan walked with JB and Christy.
What do you make of Straub?
Mad and bad all the way through, lover. He glories in what that bitch has done to him, like it was some sort of sick honor. Still wouldn't trust him as far as I could spit.
JB?
Man's got a brain like a cunning rabid rat. My guess is he's got himself caught by someone as devious and power-crazed as him. Now he's settling himself inside her nest. Become a counselor to her, so she'll need him and trust him. And one day, the Countess Katya Beausoleil gets to wake up dead.
Ryan paused to look at a gigantic carp, rainbow-scaled, as it broke the surface of the pond to snap at a skimming water boatman.
Yeah. I think we're all thinking along the same lines. Wish you'd tell us the truth about Traitor. Probably the only way we'll ever know how that final curtain came down.
The eggs were golden and perfectly circular. The bacon was lean and crisp in long rashers. The tomatoes had been sliced precisely into halves and fried in salted butter. The hash browns had been sliced thin as a whisper and then cooked until their texture was exactly right. The bread was in uniform slices and the grits were snowy, served in equal mounds on every plate. And they were all dull.
Sort of like the breakfast you see in old women's mags, brilliantly photographed so that it looks better than you could imagine. And when you eat it, then it somehow tastes like the paper the pics are printed on. I don't know how they do it.
Straub, where's the Countess?
She's dining alone in her room. But don't worry, we are on schedule and still set to leave at 9. This is going to be so exciting. I just hope that we don't meet any muties or malcontents on the road.
Is it far?
I checked the maps last night. Sleep seems to evade me more than it once did.
few miles south of downtown Memphis, Whitehaven Township in what was once called Shelby County. It's off Highway 51, south, on Elvis Presley Boulevard, one of the small number of streets in the whole region that keeps its pre-dark name. Number 3764. I've never seen it before.
Is it still a popular attraction for tourists? Oh, but you don't have such things as tourists now in Deathlands, do you?
Tourists. I've read the word. People on vacation. I've asked the guards, and most say it was once popular, but not many go now. Elvis Presley is fading away into the past.
Even I have heard of Elvis. We all have. Yet who can remember many of the main political figures in the world at the time the nuke cost broke across Earth?
The guard snapped to attention. In came the Countess Katia Beausoleil, Baroness of her own powerful ville. She was wearing a pantsuit in maroon cotton, the pants tucked into a pair of black western boots. Her only jewelry was a large uncut opal set in white gold on a silver chain around her neck.
Is everyone ready?
Straub leapt to his feet and bowed and nodded.
Everyone is looking forward to the expedition, Countess.
Did I say you were coming?
No.
Do you wish to come?
Only if you wish me to come. If you wish me to stay, then I wish to stay.
Fawning creep.
Straub turned toward Mildred, and for a moment the fawning devotion was replaced with a look of burning hatred. Then Straub blinked, and the anger was totally gone, replaced with a bland smile.
I wish you to come with us. I shall drive my own two-seater, and you will ride in the armor wags with our guests and with the Sekhmen. You think 20 will be enough?
There have been no reports of serious trouble from the city in months. The Muddies keep to their own swamps. It was unfortunate that I was so far from home without an escort. And my thanks yet again to the Outlanders for my salvation.
I will take one of the Outlanders with me in my wag.
Her eyes roamed along the line of friends.
Surprise me, bitch.
Perhaps the old man would enjoy the trip.
Bullshit.
No, my men would think it an honor to ride with me. Therefore, the honor must go to the leader of the group. That is you, is it not, Ryan Calder?
Best surprise, no surprise.
Ryan didn't see it as a big deal.
All right, let's go.
The car was a two-seater Mercedes sports car with gull-wing doors. The Countess had told him the model, but autowags didn't much interest Ryan. Ryan's friends were dispersed among the three armored trucks that traveled with them into Memphis. They drove at a good speed. Despite the rain of the previous day, the roads had dried out, and they moved at the center of a whirling dervish of reddish-gray dust. Ryan tried to see where they were going, but it was impossible to make out any details from the Mercedes.
So, Ryan, what are your thoughts about starting a family? Settling down someplace.
Christy and I have talked about it.
Does Christy want children?
I already have a son, Dean. He's schooling up in the Rockies. He's closing in on 12 now. His mother's long dead. I reckon that if we ever find that quiet place with sweet water and good land, then we might raise our own family. Me and Christy. We talked about it, almost since we first met. But it's hard to find the time and place to settle down.
I can't tell you how much I want children, Ryan. I need them. Must have them. It's the greatest imperative, and it rules all my waking hours. My sleeping hours, too.
I understand that.
She turned, and Ryan saw tears glinting in the corners of her green eyes.
Do you? Do you, Ryan? No, nobody does. Think I'm a stoop bitch, sliding toward an arid middle age. Then I'll get old and lose my grip on the ville with nobody to inherit. I must have a son.
There must be any number of men who'd be more than happy to bed you and give you what you want.
This part of Deathlands was badly nuked, and there's still a lot of residual hot spots.
Out of habit, Ryan glanced down at the tiny red counter button on his lapel, as he'd been doing since they made the jump, as he did every hour or so, wherever they landed. The color was a clear, steady green.
Doesn't seem to be too bad here.
I say that it's the nukin' that's affected all the men. They all have weak seed, and it won't grow within me and give me my son.
They were passing through a rundown, desolate suburb with very little human habitation. Ryan had seen the crooked sign telling him they were actually on Highway 51 South, and he looked at the tumbled ruins of buildings that lined every such length of road across Deathlands. Shell, Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, Piggly Wiggly. There were realtors and accountants, banks and fast food joints, used car lots on both sides, some with rusting pre-dark wrecks rotting where they stood. Most of the small rectangular units had broken windows and doors kicked in, but it looked to Ryan as if it might have been one of the places where the Ruskies had used neutron nukes that tended to destroy all life and spare the buildings.
We're nearly there, Ryan.
A dusty, unbroken window on a nameless, signless store on the left of the highway still bore a scrawled message in white paint from 100 years earlier. World closing down sale. Last chance bargains before eternity.
Ryan?
Yeah?
Think about it for me.
What?
You know.
You want me to try and father a child for you?
Please?
No. I'm sorry, but not me, Countess. Get yourself another stud.
I could make you.
I don't think so.
We might explore that. You see what has happened to Straub, Ryan.
You think a threat like that could help make me want to have sex with you? If that's what you think, then I have to say you're missing a few shingles.
Not many men speak to me like that.
That's not my problem.
Ryan looked ahead through the shield of the Mercedes.
We're stopping.
It was one of the most rundown areas that Ryan had ever seen. It was obvious that the region had recovered after the long winters, as the stores and eateries were in reasonable condition, and one or two were still, just about, open. But most were closed and derelict.
There, the opposite side of the highway.
He saw there was an oasis of green among the urban blight, with a number of tall trees and a strange white gate of rushing wrought iron, with a guitar and musical notes built into it. A hand-painted sign was already weathered to near illegibility. Car Park and Elvis Presley Souvenirs. An arrow pointed farther down the boulevard.
We'll just stop here. Don't think there'll be any trouble.
The armored trucks were parked near Katya's car. Ryan went straight to Christy and took her by the arm, steering her away for a quick word, feeling the stiffness and resistance in her body.
I'm not going to explain why I went with her. You might not like it, but you know there wasn't any choice.
No?
No. She wants me to father her a child. I said I wouldn't. She's totally locked into thinking that it's all the fault of the men.
She would.
Anyway, that's what's happening.
How did she take it? Your refusal?
I think she's lost it. Really gone right around the bend and back again. She's got no concept of responsibility and the abuse of power. Right now, she's acting pretty normal. Doesn't mean she'll stay that way. Doesn't mean she's really taken in the fact that I've refused her.
They joined the others, surrounded by the posse of sec men, the pale sunlight glinting on the polished Ruger Redhawks and the greased holsters. A chubby little lady in a checked cotton dress came through the open gate to meet them.
You're all so welcome. Welcome to Graceland.